Testing 1, 2, 3. This is Kenita Murphy. This is in preparation for an interview with Ms. Diane Jones. Today is Monday, April 7th, 2003. I'm on my way to her home.
All right, so I'm here at the home of Ms. Diane Jones, and I'm asking her about the Shape Note singing craft and her experiences with that. And so, Ms. Jones, I want to know, again, what are your experiences with the Shape Note singing?
As far back as I can remember, maybe back in the early 1960s,
And this in Randolph County?
Was in the lower area of Randolph County, and I had began to sing with my grandparents and great-grandparents. I had an aunt, and she was a great aunt to me, and she could do this stuff. Mm-hmm. She could sing notes as well as word sing. And from the cotton fields, they had different versions of how they sung within the cotton fields and how they sung in church. Okay. And some of the singing that they done in church was kind of different than they done in the fields, because they would like do re mi so, and from then on, and you know, the notes I learned like out of the New Glean, which was a book that they sung out of at different churches, and they would go like from Mount Silla to Sweet Beulah to Jerusalem and then to St. Luke. And sometimes the Inner Baptist Church, which all of, you know, all of them just, it was just a crowd of people that they would sing.
Was it like a formal convention or something like that?
It was something like a convention, because they had something like a third Sunday singing, a first Sunday singing. Then they had the Ursa's anniversary, and that was done in singing. And it was just something that we learned to do as kids, as children. Because, you know, then you went to church more, and you were taught more about the ethics of black living. And when I first became a part of the Georgia Alabama Singing, I think that it should have been in the late 85, and we had an instructor. And now they don't have an instructor, because the elderly people have passed on, and so many churches has gotten out of it. But it's just like, we would sing for messages to the Lord. Mm-hmm. We had to inquire things that we knew about that had happened to us daily, that we could just go on and on. Sometimes singing would just last for hours and hours from different choirs. You know, like from the Do Re Mi to What a Friend We Have in Jesus, This Road Is Rocking and It Ain't Gonna Stand Long, this kind of stuff, this kind of singing that I learned. And I also learned that when your leader would lead, it was just like a folk singing, a seminary song, like, they tell me when the day when the Lord shall come, and then the others in the background would be saying, when the Lord shall come, I want to be ready. This was the type of singing that I learned from way back in the 1960s. Okay. And cotton field singing, somebody would just light out on a song and they would just go, someday, this kind of stuff. And it would just last for hours. And sometimes they'd be done, got to the end of their rows, or be done hold out to the end of their rows, and it would still be going on. They could just turn right around and just sing one song within another one, backwards and forwards all day.
You mentioned that some of the churches, you know, had dropped out of the convention. Why was that, you think?
Well, the older head of people had just died down or had got too old that they just didn't want to carry it on. And now that the younger generation has come on, well, I have seen a change in the last 5 years. And I can predict maybe in the next 3 or 4 years, they won't even have this type of singing, you know, with the crowd that they have now, with the congregational crowd. Because since I have been in, I think it's been maybe about 7 choirs that have dropped out. You know, they just don't participate anymore. And it's just one of those things now. We, as a race of people, it was something that we needed to have carried on. But the young people, like 40 years and younger, they have a tendency not to even want to go to church. They don't go and they don't take the children. If they go, they send the children to Sunday school and they at home. It's just that way. And who knows in the near future what we will be listening to. And I enjoyed it when I was listening to it. When I was able to, you know, sit down and get the songbook and just go from page to page, just different little songs in the book. And I also learned how to read the upper and lower lyrics in the book. You would know when to go up and when to come back down. It was just that type of singing that you done.
You mentioned something also about, you know, the singing schools that work. Did you ever participate in that or?
No, I never really participated in a school, but I have been around several people that had been to school, and they could tell you, well, you know, we all took up music in high school. We was in the high school chorus, the dance troupe. I can't think of what the little, they used to have this little band in school. I can't remember the band, but anyway, it was just like we were always into music. Me and my whole family and I were always into music because I come from that line, that family, that singing line. Mm-hmm. My father, he has always sung. My aunt and my dad always sung together at one time or another, and they could do these things sitting around in the house. There are schools that teach this type of lyrics. They teach these lyrics. They teach these words, word for word. They teach you when and where to go up, when to pause, when to follow, when to stop, when to lead this song. And I have, on occasions, have sit down with several different people, and we would just go into this thing, and it would just be beautiful, just from one chorus to another, just singing.
Where would these schools be located? Were there any here in Randolph County, or did you have to go away to take part in that?
At once upon a time, I think it was around in 1979, they had a young man, he was a professor at Andrew College, and he, you know, could do this stuff. I also have heard about, it was a place up around America that you could go and learn this type of singing. I learned that there were several places in Atlanta at once upon a time, and I don't know if they still exist, that they, you know, would learn you how to do these things. And these just come from the older generation of people, not the new people now, but the older generation, because they had more time to sit down and, you know, just resume these things out with you.
So when they got ready to go to these schools, was there a charge that the church sent them, or did you go on your own, or was there a fee, or what was that?
I'm not really sure, but I know that it was a cost at once upon a time. There was this professor, or Professor West, that lived over on 2nd Street here in Cuthbert, and he was very lyrical. He was a pianist. And he also sung, and he could, you know, he would teach you this stuff, but you had to pay him maybe like $3 or $4 a month, maybe $5 a month. I can't remember now.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned that your church at Mount Silla, which is in
Carnegie,
do they still participate in this now?
They don't participate in the Georgia Alabama Singers, but I know that they are in the People Singing Union Convention, and I know that they are in the Usher's Anniversary Singing. And since my uncle has passed away, I have a friend, Lester Johnson. He is the music director. He's the choir leader. And he and several others from the church, they still sing that lyric song, singing.
Okay, all right. You had mentioned something earlier before we started the tape about in your, was it your great grandmother's time or whatever, your experience of where your family learned that tradition from?
We learned it sitting around like in the from the fireplace in the kitchen, outside, you know, when you had stuff to do outside. They would start singing, maybe washing out of the tubs or something, and it just went on daily. You know, this was the stuff you done daily.
Okay, shape notes, sing. They would just sing all the day, and whatever chore or whatever.
Well, if the spirit hit you, like, right then, you know, we wasn't just a dirt poor, but we was, as people call you now, as a lower grade of people. Mm-hmm. And I've milked cows and had to hum a note because I was upset because I had to get up so early in the morning. Washing out of the wash tub with the bow stick and the wash pot and hanging out clothes and stuff. It was the stuff that kept us going during the day. Like now, I hum a lot. And sometimes I just get to singing, just singing one song. Because there's this song, I'll Be a Friend to Jesus. And I learned this song as a child. And it's not something that I sing all the time, but then when I go to get depressed about something, you know, it just comes up. It's just a song.
Could you sing a note for us, of that song?
I will. I'm going to have to do it in background also.
Okay.
They tried my Lord, they tried my Lord and Master, with no one to defend, within the halls of power. He stood without a friend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my day shall end. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my years shall end. And basically, that song is just saying that I'll be a friend to Jesus. Jesus had to stand by himself. And when he was in the halls of Pilate, he had to stand. And he, the only friend that I could depend on now is him. And, you know, for years to end, until my death shall come, that, you know, that's the closest friend I'll have is Jesus.
You had mentioned when we talked earlier about that you and your dad sing together. Do you still do that?
At times when I'm at his house and I'm cleaning up and stuff, we'll hit out on something. Sometimes my sisters will be there, and they children, they just think it's just the funniest thing to hear us sing stuff. But, you know, it's just that they are not as taught as well as I am, because I am one of the older girls, and we do a lot of singing, especially when we together riding down the road, something come on the radio, we all up in it, you know. Can take the folk song on the radio, but then when the record cut off, we through, you know. It's just that, you know, you got to learn to be elaborate with the stuff that you have been taught through the years, mm-hmm. so that you can keep your spirits up, because it's so easy to get now that the war is on and stuff. It's so easy to get depressed about the least little thing now. And singing is a daily constitution for me. There is never morning that I don't get up and I have some song on my mind, something like Old Gospel Ship, What a Time When We Get to Glory Land. And I can remember this song when I was coming up, they tell me that the day when the Lord shall come, I want to be ready. And, you know, a lot of times I think about that kind of stuff, and I'll be trying to say, am I prepared for this if the Lord should come? And sometimes, like, when you just be out, you may get to humming, Jesus love me, and then it go from there, just little stuff.
So not only was it just used for music or entertainment, but, you know, it was a spiritual constellation, you think?
Yes.
For the people involved?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of times, you know, like when a person was down, because, you know, in years back, we went, if somebody died in the neighborhood, we went, we swept yards, we did whatever had to be done at that person's house, you know, to get prepared for the funeral. Now, you go to somebody's house, they got on a different type of music. They into this new reggae and all this type stuff. And I can't see, they said you're supposed to rejoice when somebody dead, but to me, singing is a part of rejoicing, and I just love to sing.
Do you sing with your children? I know you have a son and a daughter. Do you ever sing with them? Or
my son has been singing ever since he was three. He joined the Randolph County Male Chorus. And when he first started singing, he was just so loud. And he and his dad used to get out in the garden, and he'd be singing, and he'd be just as loud as he could possibly be. But as he's grown, he's 15 years old now, and he has learned to tone his voice. He has learned to catch on. If his dad will drop a word, he has learned to just pick it up just automatically and finish the song out. I have a 9-year-old daughter, and she has a beautiful voice. And she's learning now. And she, her favorite song right now is Getaway Jordan. And this song, daily. You know, it's just a song that we learned to sing back in the olden days. I want to cross over to see my Lord. And she loves that song now. And she can lead. She's learning to lead. And this is the stuff that I don't want to leave my house. You know, I want this singing to stay around. Because I met my husband, he was singing. And we done a duet together at church. And I just thought it was so beautiful. I wonder if the day will ever come when we'll be free. And it's just like, Lord, I wonder if the day will ever come when we'll be free. And it's a Cottonfield song. And we learned the lyrics and we follow each other.
Could you sing some more of that? Just a little more. I don't want to wear you out singing. I happen to have heard y'all sing that before, and y'all did a good job on that.
Lord, I wonder if today will ever come when we'll be free. Lord, I wonder if today will ever come. We'll be free. We'll be in view. Then we are being scorned. We had it so hard ever since we've been born. Oh, I wonder if today will ever come. We'll be free. Do-do-do. Free at last, we had it so hard. We're free at last. Do, do, do. Free at last, we had it so hard. We're free at last. But we had to climb the rough side of the hills. But there'll be no more rocks and rills. Lord, I wonder if today will ever come when we'll be free. You know, it also goes like, da 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 re so, hey, re, mi, And that's the way I learned how to sing it, in lyrics. And I can follow, but I can only lead so far. But the singing part of it is just beautiful. And it's all in, I wonder, will I ever become free on this earth? Because I've had it so hard, we done had to climb so many rocks, and we done had to go through so many rills, and so many mountains and hills have come in our lives as daily stuff. And I'm just wondering, if I stay here long enough, will I be free from all this, this toiling and stuff?
Do you think that's also, you said it was sung in the cotton fields, you think it, you know, somebody made it up, or, you know, that's in reference to slavery?
I just believe it was. I believe it was a way of getting a message out that they couldn't tell the master, you know, because they had like masters and they had overseers in the field and stuff, and they didn't want them to know what they were talking about. And I just believe that's the way it, you know, it was formed. A lot of songs that we sing now in Replica, they come out of, you know, like slavery times, cotton fields, you know, this kind of stuff.
I had interviewed Deacon Jones earlier, and I was asking him, you know, what he thought was important to keep this, you know, tradition alive. And he mentioned, you know, one of the things was, you know, to pass it along to other generations or whatever. And then he also mentioned, as far as just like in a church unit or a church home, that the pastor had to be interested in it, and to keep that going in a church. What do you think a church needs?
Well, I must admit, I think so too. Because one of the choirs that was in the Georgia, Alabama singing, that done notes, that had the alto, the soprano, the tenor, the bass, and, you know, first and second leaders, their pastor wasn't interested enough in it, since he was from the updated, graded, you know, greater pastors, all this old stuff we lay down and new stuff to be formed. And they just, you know, got out of the singing because it wasn't an interest, looked like more to me as to their pastor, because the older crowd was dying down. And one of the stewardess at the church, he was, you know, mostly like the leaders of several little groups around. And when he passed away, it looked like it just started crumbling. It's something that you just couldn't just stick back together all, you know, all of a sudden. It's just like everything now has got to be new.
What type of music would you say has taken its place, do you think? Contemporary?
Contemporary gospel is getting to be a fast thing now. It's getting to be a fast thing. Some contemporary music I love, and some of it I listen to because it's on the radio, and I just don't want to turn my radio off, because sooner or later, Lou Leary or Miss T or somebody gonna play something that I like. And you know, that's the stuff that, you know, it's a thing. You got to get into it.
As far as like here in Randolph County, we know that they're doing the shape note singing in East Alabama and outside of Randolph County. And I want to say the South Central area of Georgia as well. But here in Randolph County, since it seemed to have died down, so what do you think needs to be done to rebuild that or revitalize an interest in it?
I would say that if it took enough interest for a music teacher, maybe at a school, or a music director at a college, a band director, so I think that if they would offer it, you know, as a class, I think that it would become more popular than what it is now, because, like I said, most people 40 years old and under, they don't go to church, and if they go, they don't know how to sing this stuff, because how to sing these songs, because they are not interested enough.
You think they're not educated enough either to know actually what it is? Or
musically, I wouldn't say so. It would be just like if we had somebody to teach us these lyrics, the note singing, the shape note singing, as we called it back in the day. If we had someone that could just sit down and just teach us this stuff, on the average, I would say the youngest person that would be there maybe would be maybe 35. And you could count the older people as, you know, going up. Because the older head of people, they loved this stuff. And at St. John, up on Blakely Street, there used to be a man, Mr. Russell Gatson, and his sisters and his wife. They used to do this stuff all the time in the third Sunday night scene. And it would just be guts, you know, crowds of people that would come just to enjoy the singing. And you wouldn't hardly be able to sit down. Now, you can go and sit in the pulpit if you want, because the pastor's not going to be there.
So did the pastor participate back then? Did you remember? And
yes, because at that time they had a pastor, and he was from Columbus. He was from Columbus, Georgia, and he was an older man, and he could do this stuff. He could do these lyrics, these notes. He would sing with them at the time. But now, you can say, as great as Shirley Caesar is, you know, is, if she don't bring somebody, you know, like the gospel keynotes are, somebody, you know, this the kind of spiritual ales, or somebody that is real popular, maybe Perfect Praise, if they got in with her, you know, it would be just like a basic crowd. But shape note singing, who want to hear that? That's be the first thing somebody would say. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're talking about, you know, but if you sung, even at choir anniversaries, they are not as like they used to be. Because I remember when we first started going to choir anniversaries, I think I was about 16, 17 years old. You could get into the church, and wow, you would be there from maybe 3 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Because everybody wanted to sing. Now, preferably you maybe have 17 children out of Randolph, Clay, Calhoun, you know, that want to participate with the other churches, and you had started your choir anniversary at 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock, you at home, done aid and everything. It's just that way now.
So would you, you mentioned, or we're talking about the lack of interest in the craft, would you say just it may be a lack of interest just falling away from the church or whatever, as a race or a culture thing? What do you think?
I think it's more like I'm going to church now because I need a blessing from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Soon as I receive my blessing, I ain't got time. The day I go next Sunday, and next Sunday ever gets, you know, never get here. Unless it's an affair, maybe Easter, Mother's Day. It's just that way now. We have, I don't know, it's just like the people have just strayed away from the church. And I remember when I was young, you know, you would be going to church. Basically, by then, church started, maybe they started Sunday school at 11 o'clock. Well, you had maybe five, maybe six different classes in Sunday school. And when the teacher got through teaching, you said your Bible verses, and then all y'all sung your little song, you took up your little change, you know. And we would go outside, maybe get some water, go to the bathroom, come back in church, and they would start prayer meeting. Prayer meeting would last, and you could hear the old sisters back in the, you know, in the amen corner. Somebody could be on their knees and praying, and you would hear them, somebody just, thank you, Jesus. You know, it would just last. And from that, praise his name, you know, the whole time they was having prayer meeting. And then maybe somebody out way out in the audience would cut out on a song when they get to praying. and that song would just last. And then somebody else would go up and pray, and you could hear somebody holler out, "Oh, praise his name!" You know, this stuff you don't hear anymore. You go into church now, you sit down, they sing one song, lead a hymn, maybe "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Somebody get on their knees and thank the Lord for what they done for him, and they up. Next thing you know, the preacher up, next 20 minutes, you out the door. That's just the way it is, because, you know. But I have, church has really turned around from when I was a child. It really has. Because it used to be just congregations of people. And not only just Baptists, the Methodists, or whatever, Free Will, or whatever. They just went from one church to another. And now, I have said it so many times, as big as Payne Chapel is, if every church around here just went into one church, we probably might would just have a church full of people with the congregations that you see, day, you know, every Sunday.
And you grew up in the Carnegie area, right?
I grew up in the Carnegie area.
Of Randolph
County. Of Randolph County. We had basically four churches. There was Mount Silla, which was first Sunday. Jerusalem was a second Sunday church. We went to Sweet Beulah, which was, oh, I'm sorry. We went to St. Luke, which was the third Sunday church, which Jerusalem and St. Luke went together, because our pastor died, and we knew then that we were shot out. We was through at Jerusalem. So we joined together in 1968 and made just one congregation, and then there was Sweet Beulah, and it died down. So the people from Sweet Beulah, some of them went to Enum, which is on Highway 27, and some of them came to St. Luke, and most of the older crowd that were at Sweet Beulah, they just, you know, died away. It was just, it, you know, it's just something in my lifetime that I have experienced.
Well, the church, what happened to the structures? You mentioned Sweet Beulah and Jerusalem. Are they still standing, or they've been torn down? Or?
Jerusalem is just a floor mat now. You can tell where the church stood. It sways, you know. It's just a platform, just about. Sweet Beulah was a church that was right beside the railroad track, just as you were going down to the other two churches, and it burned. It burned down because at one time there was a family that, you know, was without a home, and they moved into the church for a while. But then one night, it caught a fire. Nobody really know what happened, because we said that, you know, maybe some hobos or something that was cold and was in the church, and it burned.
What year was this?
This was in 72. And it burned. And so, you know, they just tore it all the way down and, you know, just pushed it up at great level. But we, as a race of people, we really need to come together now and perform the realities that we, you know, once have known. And I believe that if we just got back into that singing, just really honestly being heartfelt, that we could just get down and just, you know, just tell the Lord what we need and how we need it. It wouldn't be a time that he won't bless us now. I know this. But I feel like I'm blessed every day when I open my eyes and can still see and I can feel and hear. But, you know, it's just that I believe that we would be more fulfilled in our daily living if people would just go back to some of the old-time ways.
And would you say also that maybe they need to educate the youth about what exactly the shape note singing is, and try to spark some interest there?
Yes.
You know, in order to keep it going.
To keep it going, yes.
Because that was one of the things that came out in the interview with Mr. Jones, was that, you know, there's no youth involved in
True.
It, and to keep it going. And his comment or statement was, anything that when there's no youth in it to keep it going, it's going to eventually die down.
Because, see, right now in the Georgia, Alabama singing, I think we got about eight that's including my two children, that sings, you know, between the ages of, well, my baby's age, because she's the youngest thing in there, from the ages of 9 to about the ages of 17. And the reason I know this child is just turned 17 because we sung happy birthday to this child. But that's the only young, real young people we have, do about
they,
eight.
Do they seem to have an interest in it? You think they carry it on or?
Yes. And my son is very active in church. And he tell me daily that he seemed to be getting more and more blessings when he do what he have to do. And that's give the Lord some of his time. Mm-hmm. But I have always been where I wanted to just let the Lord guide me and lead me daily. And that's the reason I learned, you know, to just sit around. Sometimes I would be working machinery work. I just start me a song, and before I knew it, it was either lunchtime or sometime the end of the day. These are the things that I have always been grateful for, that I learned to sing. Mm-hmm. I learned to, you know, be recording. Mm-hmm. Just sometimes just pat my foot to a tone that's in my head. Mm-hmm. But as far as the shape note singing, I wish that it would last forever and ever, because these are the things that were brought with us. As I can say, maybe we came from slavery times. This is the stuff that brought us through. Knowing how and when to praise the Lord and what to say to Him. And I did a song that I had wrote down, and it come out of the cut from the Baptist hymn book. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them I am redeemed. And at the time, I was really going through a depression stage. And that song just brought me over. And right now, I sit down, and sometimes I get a little piece of paper that I wrote it out on. And
is that one you wrote original yourself?
I wrote it. It's not like the one in the red hymn book. But I wrote it because I was depressed and I wanted the Lord to know just how I was feeling at the time. Because it looked like to me I was going through so much. I could just see myself walking up the golden stairs, you know. Walking up the golden stairs to, you know, to heaven. And when I got there, the clouds was just wide open. And it looked like the Lord was welcoming me in. And I was really going through something. And if you have never gotten to that stage, if you just whisper just a little tap of a song, you know, sometime it would just bring you out. It would make you feel better about things. And I have done several little graphs of songs, which I know that I couldn't write the lyrics. But I have done several little sketches of stuff, and I would sing them in my own version. I got this little notebook I've been had for years. It's something that I always wanted to do. I always wanted to be a writer. And my aunt used to tell me, when she got a golden voice, and she used to tell me all the time, "You going to Hollywood someday?" I said, "Yeah, so you going to see me on," at the time they had this show that came on in Columbus. And she told me, she said, "One day I'm going to look and see you on TV." I never did make it because they canceled the show.
But I think I remember that. They had that one.
Song in My Heart. That was the name of it.
Yeah, but early mid-80s?
Yeah.
Because I was a little girl when that came on. I remember that.
But it was just, you know, I just always have been delighted about the stuff I could write about. And I did this one about "I'm coming home, Lord." You know, my baby told me one day, "Mama, did you try to be the cattle spirit?" "No, darling, I didn't." It was just, you know, I was ready to come home. And where I was at the particular time, I was just, you know, it looked like I was just boxed in because something tragic had happened. And I just wanted to go to my house and just sit down and get comfortable. And, you know, and just talk to the Lord. Because I find myself now, and I know that I'm just 47 years old, I find myself now, I will get into a little series with prayer. And I'm not holy or anything. I don't claim to be, but I want to be more Christ-like in my living. And this is one way that I can just say, let the Lord just keep blessing me over and over and over again. I might not be blessed as well as the next fella or the next person, which I'm the kind of person, I don't want what nobody else got. I'm comfortable with what he let me have, and I thank him. And sometimes I be in the kitchen, and I know, you know, we all have done it, but just thank you, Jesus, in my own house, just wide open. You would think it was a congregation of folks in there. Nobody but me. But that's just life. Mm-hmm. That's just life. I'm sometimes outside, just blundering around in the yard. Master, I'm yours, you know, this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I wish that, you know, if more people would just to pay attention, I believe that we could come across a lot of stuff in life.
Okay.
All right. I really do. Okay.